committed on labor concern and business affairs, Tuesday, February 20, 1979, 8 a.m., hearing room 8, hearing on Senate Bill 454 relating to damages for unlawful employment practices, Senate Bill 458 relating to employment, Senate Bill 371 relating to workers' compensation.
This morning was Senate Bill 371, and we're very privileged today to have Representative Romero.
Is that how it's coming?
I hope you didn't take your
name. I didn't take your name. And you just threw it in my ass.
Actually, I came here today to present my new tax plan. I want to see guys from my first. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 371, as you probably know, was drafted to stop overpayment recovery from Oregon workers that were hit by administrative problems in Oregon Social Security Workers' Compensation Program passed by the 1977 legislature. Unfortunately, the bill was introduced to you, or as it was introduced in the bill you had before it, Senate Bill 371 doesn't solve the problem for which it was intended. However, my staff, along with Senator Bowe's staff, and Cliff Allison, working in council, Chuck Wilson, legislative council, have drafted amendments which would fulfill the original intent of the bill. By way of background, and I think that you have the amendments, I believe that's the by way of background, of course, the intent of the 1977 program was for injured workmen to, or workers, excuse me, to use Social Security system disability benefits to the fullest extent possible while reducing payments to Oregon insurers. However, administrative problems caused many totally disabled Oregonians great financial hardship because they were suddenly told that Social Security had overpaid them sometimes for years and for amounts in thousands of dollars. These overpayments are mainly the result of Social Security Administration's bureaucracy, as information being forwarded to the Social Security office was not processed rapidly. Sometimes it was delayed in one case, or one instance in another, for as long as 9 months. And I've also been told that some of the information wasn't processed at all. You can imagine, of course, the dilemma that that placed many totally disabled workers in the state, as they were told they'd been overpaid disability benefits only because Social Security Administration had not processed the information correctly and as workers submitted information requested by the Social Security Administration. Since Bill 371 is amended, of course, is not going to relieve the stress or anger that was generated by the administrative problems of the offset program, but it will relieve some of the financial burden. It will prevent future overpayments being generated because of the administrative problems Oregon insurers encountered in administering this problem. Problems generated by involvement with a complex and very slow bureaucracy of the Social Security Administration. In addition to amendments, I have with me today some copies of petitions that were signed by supporters of disabled workers and the workers in Thousand and Keith County area, asking that remedies be made for the problem, and these are also available for your inspection this morning. The amendments in size I've outlined for you in my testimony, but I think better than in my presentation of them, it would perhaps be wiser if you'd ask Mr. Allison and it was Mr. Long from the workers' compensation. I'm having difficulty these days. I really changed the name from workmen to workers' compensation department, so they'd be happy to tell you more about the specific nature of the amendments themselves. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any endeavor to answer any questions. I also incidentally attached, by the way, a brief history of the program on the following page. Last page of my testimony, you'll notice the intent of the offset program was approved in 1978 here in Oregon, also with the Social Security Administration in 1979. That's the present right there. Bill, how much do you have any idea what it's going to cost you? Okay. No, I do not know. I wonder if the reserves that they'd have last would cover that, the reserves, the insurance companies have reserved for those things.
I'm not sure about that either, Senator.
It would be available.
I'd rather defer that to Cliff Allison. I assume that you're okay with me.
Okay. Mr. Gannon. Thanks.
to any further questions? If not, thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Bob Kennedy, where are you going to ask that out? And the boy in the spring didn't come out this way. I lost the tail of mine, my first children, the first leaf. The social security would take away from my work and transfer them to $32.40. And we did just that. The legislators seem to think that social security pays the worker what he loses from compensation, and they would make it up, and you wouldn't lose anything. So it doesn't give that disrespect to you. You just thought, and this is wrong. If it's operating in Social Security 30 years since its inception, 1936 to 37, I don't remember just that year, but I think it's 1936. I feel that to be mine, I can be on a field radius if my express the right as an American citizen and in the state. Anybody should lay claim to any part of this. I have laid my life on the line 100 times in World War II and probably saw enough combat if any man in the state, and I have the medal to prove, but you can't send a damn thing. Let me tell you some of the many things you probably never heard when a person undergoes many surgeries on his back. They're the so-called organ back. This is a ridiculous thing. What's the name of that? This is my back, what's left of it. I detest the main organ back, and if you women could only experience the constant pain and agony, the muscle cramps, the spasms, every time your back is operated on, and you lose some function in the part of your body. There's nothing to do about it. When you're far out and helpless, you beg your doctor to do anything he can to relieve you. A thing. He tries with all his skill as he can to help you. Another thing, some of you try to make the doctors look like the bad guys for this cost. But please don't talk my doctor. He is one of the legislators, and my opinion, he's been like a father, a brother, a friend, and everything else that I could go through with my problem. He's tried his best for me, and I'll defend him, defend doctors like him for the end. He's a good man. And you tell you about some of the things that you're in a person's mind after you are killed, you will have to retire. The first thing I did was try to commit suicide. I took 36 sleeping pills, I had obtained some medication from the ward with me, but all I got was sicker than hell. Then I decided to try to make it and live and have symptoms I could get. Make the best of it. I took a series of radiation treatments and maximum amount 3 1-minute blasts to slow up some burn spurs in my back. I don't call it the medical men involved, but they told me the danger, and I think along with the treatment, the surgery or the accident, I was less important, incident, and still. I also had Peyronie's disease, and if you don't know what it is, I'll tell you. I was unable to perform my duties as a husband, or in my life sexually. I was less helpless in that department, and yes, that's the loss of the hand is worth. I'd gladly trade both hands just to be a husband to my wife. In fact, I've paid bodies with anybody mentioning this letter, so that way anybody in this room. In many aspects, to a person like me being helpless to do a lot of things, like simply walking or sleeping. I fall and I touch my head, legs, arms, face, some part of my body almost every day. I fall on the back, so that's constant pain. 24 hours of every day, and no pills and medicine will touch it. I've had several migraines, and 2 of them I've had a reaction with a migraine headache, and that's the worst kind of thing there is. You don't know until you experience it, but I would take that in preference to the pain from my back. I've had all the things that aren't covered by workers' compensation I face, mainly with my x rays. I've had 2 carcinomas, a mild form of cancer. Carcinomas are cancers, and so melanomas, which are on the borderline. And you will take care of that for me, space not out anything. I had 30 radiation treatments on my face, 10 taken off surgically. My nose and sinus have been operated on, my eyes and tear ducts have been operated on. My teeth have been ruined by X-ray, between that and falling down, and the fillings are gone, my teeth are ruined, and I can't get them fixed. I thought we had to live on. With inflation and prices up the aisle, and from the accident, surgery, radiation, my biopsy and body don't work out either. I live long in walkers, wheelchairs, and faces. I feel self-conscious about it. I feel like everyone should look at that old cripple. I can hear little kids making a noise, look at that old cripple now and then. That's kind of hard to take, but I can live with it. So, gentlemen, don't hear through this legislation without doing some test of this. Try putting yourself in our places to use it with us.
through which life sometimes isn't worth much. But food won't take away our dignity or our right to life. I think I'm entitled to get what the force allowed me in my injury, and I haven't got any more, so that's tough living. I don't think service facilities could take the man away from eating. I've stayed into that since started. All I have received was awarded to me by law, such cost of living increases. I have not taken advantage of anyone who had been much. Anyone being so to me, all I want to do is live out my life with my wife, who's been a loving one, who is such a goodness to all of us. All the people in my group who have not committed suicide or fell victim to a man's crisis, usually 95% of the people I've talked to, the wife leaves him. And he's left the stress, but my wife has stuck with me through all of this, and she's behind me 100%. And we, the people all over in the state, we, the people all together in the state, and greatly compensation, we only received 6 cents of that dollar that these people are bitching about. 6 cents. And I ask you, is that too much to pay? It isn't, I don't think. That's very little to pay the full amount of the people involved in the state on a total permanent disability. And I ask you, boys, and I ask you, gentlemen, is this too much? Would you trade places with us? We have been sentenced to a total life expectancy, and the average person due to illness, created by countless treatment surgeons, pain suppression. And so as the committee of one asks you to look at these bills objectively before you pass them, you should make the remaining years of our few of our that's a little flattered. Please feel free to call on me if you have any questions, and I'll give you my name and address and phone number. And if I can be of any help, like I say, all I want to do is live and not be bothered.
What's your total income in that time, Mr.
Brennan? Right now?
Yeah.
I get 432. In the state.
How much is the first quarter?
334. But that was all screwed up all last year.
432 and 334. So
yeah.
432 and 334. 700.
And I guarantee that's not too much of inflation. The salary paper said we'd pay another 125% increase in 2 more years on our life alone.
Well, my life had been any other income besides that?
No. My life, last 2 months, has been over $100 for how the hell do I keep up? Welfare people are better off than I am.
Huh?
They can at least get medical, doctor, and dinner.
You have a doctor in BA, or they provide you medical and dinner?
No, sir.
You have no medical in BA at all?
Only time I couldn't hear me, one time I went up and they pressurized me and went from a series of void histograms and sounds and things to help me. But no help.
$242
after a month, approximately 1,100 involved with it, and it over clinic normally will last about 3 months at the maximum for those who are already in the system. This will be about $1,200,000. That's an initial amount and is non-recurring. Then for the new entrants, the new center center, it will be 5 or 6 months. And you'll see approximately $232. And there are about 300 of them a year. Of that 300, about 60% will be under age 62. So when we get all through, we will be offsetting the reserves that have been reduced by about $700,000. And this will be annual. The total offset apparently from the calculations that have been made will be in the 78-79 year will be approximately $2,192,000. The 79-80 year will be approximately $2,476,000. And then the 80-81 year about $2,760,000. There'll be a one-time offset of about $1,200,000 for the possible amounts that have been overpaid as a result of the program.
What do you think now the total cost would be over this year?
Well, the total cost, let's talk about two. Those that are in the program now, that'll be about $1,200,000. And that will actually be a one-time reduction.
Okay. That would be some money funded too.
Yeah, that's a one-time reduction in the saving.
Okay.
And the remainder will be between $600,000 and $700,000 a year, and that would then reduce the savings that I have given you by that amount. The savings of 7980 would be $3,776,000, and we have between $600,000 and $700,000 reduction to the savings.
Let me ask you this, Greg. Would your department, would your agency have any objections to it?
None whatsoever. The problem is that because of the delayed information which we get from the Social Security Administration, we are going to be setting up almost automatically about a 5 month overpayment on any new one. And it would appear that although it's a substantial amount of money, nevertheless, we are saving a large amount as a result of the offset program. And Mr. Gowen said, the personal problems of the internal total disability payments are magnified by these overpayments. We really can't do anything about the overpayments that are being made in the Social Security that are paying for. Representative Bowman, that's at least being withheld until I have a congressional overview.
Okay. Yes. So, if in fact, Senate Bill 48 had never passed, had never passed, and the Social Security had undertaken an audit of the payments, the present version, just in prior to 1977. Would there have been an overpayment to the Senate totals at that?
Yes, there would have been.
And it was my understanding what 1048 did was it triggered the audit by a review by the Social Security that picked up the overpayment.
That's correct.
And 1048 did not create the overpayment.
No.
It just created the situation in which they reviewed the Senate totals here in Oregon and found that they had been overpaid because of this cost of living.
That's correct. It was a combination of two things.
What eventually would happen?
I'm sure it would have. It was a combination of two things. Some workers did not report accurately the fact that they were receiving workers' compensation payments, which are included in the maximum provision of social security law. There were a few who had documentary evidence that they had paid Social Security Administration, but nothing had been done about it. And then there were just the same ones that the Social Security Administration did that on. So it was kind of a two-pronged problem. The Social Security Administration, the people that we deal with, are very helpful. It's the fact that the program is so huge and so unwieldy that by the time the information hits into the computer back in Baltimore, and we get and the benefits then are recomputed, that they have run up the rise amount of overpayment.
Yes, right. The overpayment. Who has been collecting overpayment? Has it been the workers' comp or has it been the Social Security Administration?
Both.
So,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, the overpayments that are the comp side, we have told the carriers and the self-insurers that they are to collect it back on the basis of 10% of the gross amount of the compensation received, or $50 per month, whichever is the lesser.
Mm-hmm. The bill and the proposed amendments, I take it, is directing the workers' comp as to the board as to the overpayment collected by the carrier in this case.
Right.
And it doesn't address the issue of the overpayment by the
section. No, it does not. We cannot make any representation of it. It also provides for repayment for those overpayments that are required by
law. And did you see the amendments? I'm looking at the one on page 2, the underlying portion, where it says the effect of the operation of any asset provided in the section to be obeyed, establishing the authorization provided in subsection 1 of the section, whether the authorization is required to a subsequent to the effect of voting. Would you explain that to me?
Yeah, I call it my counsel to explain it.
Did you drop the minister?
I read the entire
thing. The problem we have with that is that if we receive the information today from Social Security, for those injuries occurring prior to October 4th, 1977, the fact is that the effective date of that authorization will be July 1st, 1978. So we have to backdate it. Anytime we have to backdate an authorization, what it does is create an overpayment under the workers' compensation law. And I understand that I'm in Social Security law. The purpose of this is the intent of this section is so that when we receive the information today, we can make that authorization effective 1 March, which does not create an overpayment under the workers' comp. And this is the idea behind this particular section. So that by our actions, if this is in the authorization, we can carry the overpayment. There will be no overpayment created.
Has there been a worker who prior to the passage of 1048, has there been a worker that has incurred a loss in the total number of dollars that he was receiving prior to the passage of 1048 because of the offset?
There has been an actual cash receipt loss, but there has not been a loss in eligibility.
Okay. I detect that there's no overpayment included in there?
Yes.
Okay, now. Assume that there was no overpayment problem, and assume that this bill passes and you pay back, you are the payback of the overpayment collected, and Congressman Allman handles the Social Security overpayment, and I don't pay anything back on that. Will a worker incur any dollar loss in that situation?
No. There's so many variables in it, if I may explain. For example, we have, once in a while, a claimant will receive a supplement in Social Security, in addition to the regular Social Security. That will drop off. This is one of the problems we had I had the case where he was getting $250 in addition. It was really not possible as a system because the normal security benefits, nor at least as a conscious. Now, Ethan, he has actually received a loss. He has not received a loss under the special provision of Social Security or any of the workers' comp, but he's not thinking that time. In that situation. But as a general, what you say, if there was no overpayment, either place, there would be no loss.
And the reason these individuals have got a dollar reduction in the total amount of their benefit is because that somebody is collecting an overpayment on it.
No, that's true. That's simply correct.
Maybe this subject that awards and Social Security for explaining that.
Well, of course, very good to know. I don't know exactly what that figure is understanding, but he was getting a $250 supplement for a particular nursing care at one time.
Yeah, that was
care.
But no, no, that that, would you?
No, that doesn't really apply. But he actually, when that was taken care of, now he's coming back down getting $250 in it. So that wasn't part of the system. So there's all kinds of factors when you come up with these things if he actually didn't know. But as far as eligibility, if there's no overpayment, either way, with eligibility, you know, there's no loss in that.
Senator, in the future, we will not have the problem of full benefits from both Social Security and workers' comp because it will be cut before it becomes an overpayment.
Now, the problem has been with those people that were on permanent total prior to the effective date of 1048 because they were the ones that, at least I've heard from, that basically got caught in the overpayment situation. And it's been very difficult to try to explain to them. It wasn't because of, 1048 merely brought to the attention of the federal government the problem of the overpayment. But even if, in fact, if 1048 had not passed and they had done an audit, they would have picked it up anyway and they would have been in the same position. And it's difficult to explain that to people.
It's probably have more income work confusion.
That's why I'm bringing the fact that 1048 did bring it up. It's probably going to hurt more people than it hurt because without a concerted number of people being involved in it, one at a time being picked up would not have triggered Representative Ullman's, I guess, egress to Social Security or so.
Well, this is getting ahead on a bill, but we've got a bill on retirement, so we're going to go through the whole process again. We're not charged with retirement offset into the whole process.
No, sir. There is no offset from the Social Security and the Social Security side.
It would be on your side, right? So we would be in a position maybe of overpayment if, in fact, that passes.
The same number of beneficiaries under the contract versus
and not using the total energy auxiliary. As an example, we have a planet and one under the constant, a planet and two under the auxiliary, the same planet, what's called the auxiliary. We are using the lesser figure. We are using the planet, the plus one auxiliary, which works to a benefit to the individual worker. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we interpret that in the perspective, so that we will not have a reduction because of the difference in auxiliary.
So that's the way you're saying it. Social security is still kind of against the auxiliary, aren't they?
They're giving us a total auxiliary figure, total kind of benefit.
So they're actually reducing by one more person?
No, they're not. Yeah. Because they're paying the full free auxiliary. We are paying either identical to what the social security gives us or a lesser amount, taking an asset which increases his benefit. Now, the way it will work is that Social Security, for example, now will pay normal. The comp is higher than Social Security. And Social Security will pay the total family benefit, and we will pay the difference between that and the comp and the work that we have, and whether you know it's a cut down there. Mm-hmm. I just
I appreciate it because it's very difficult.
Yes, it's very difficult to follow through.
In section 2 of the bill, on lines 10 and 11, when it says, when such overpayment resulted from the administrative delay or error of the department or an agency of the federal government, this, I'm trying to get to this administrator. You are actually, that section is putting the workers' comp department or the director right in the position of determining whether the federal government's Social Security payment program has resulted in an administrative delay or error that's created an overpayment. How are you going to make that decision?
It's routine. If we don't have the information, we have to see the information from Social Security. We just don't. We don't know.
But you're the one that's going to be making that decision.
Right.
Now, what's the intent of it?
Not as of country. This is still the board. It's still hopeful. You know, that this whole bill remains the board. I don't know. We don't want to get into the department at this time. It's just going to go forward in the department. But the purpose of this is for us to both make our authorization effective today or effectively rather than less effectively.
Now, I'm just trying to figure out administratively how the board at this particular time is not raw.
What the board will have to do, Larry Young can explain.
He's going to make what rule they're using and whether the Social Security administration has made an error.
99 times out of 10, it's just the obvious that we don't have the information. We can't issue the authorization today because we have delay and we can't mention it.
So that's the administrative delay.
That's the administrative.
And it's your intent that when this happens and the situation you gave, that you're going to tell them, sir, that, you're going to hold the
we'll make the authorization effectively, so there will be no overpayment, so we don't have to cover it.
I understand you.
It takes about 5 months for that federal credit to set up on the Social Security. In that period of time, the worker will be treated for workers' comp. There should be an offset. When we receive the final information from them, then we will determine the proper offset, and we will not have to go back and ask for repayment.
Okay, is there a question? That's your pleasure with the amendment.
I move the amendment.
I'm going to send it back to you. Move the adoption of the amendment. Let's go call the roll. Yes, date of birth. December 13th, 79.
Is that in the book you sent?
Yes.
Yes, you can make
this.
No, go ahead, Paul. What do you
I'm
getting less from workers' comp and more from social security.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just say this. The way this bill is, social security is supposed to reimburse you that workers' comp for not having interest rates. You lose all these $235 a month. That's not going to social security. Workers' comp doesn't
have to. Mr. Green, you know what I'm going to ask you to do is that Mr. Green has talked to you before. And you but Mr. Dunham is obviously very, very concerned about this, and he's been before this committee time and time again, and I have talked to him, and I have been unable to understand exactly what the problem is, and so I'm going to ask you, now Mr. Dunham, would you review his file and give me an analysis of what happened to him that he believes that he suffered a $300-some loss per month. And I want to know why that occurred like that. Now, if it's an overpayment or something else, will you come back to the committee and tell us what happened to him?
I think that Roy has all the information about him and can't take care of it. This has gone on for so long.
Paul, let me just Roy and give me an ask rather than I talk to you. I think you're going to be tired of coming here and sitting in front of the committee.
Okay. Clerk will call the roll on the adoption amendment. Thinking about the new Senate Bill 2, that brief coming onto the floor as amended with a feedback recommendation. Let's go call the roll.
Question a practice or seek outside counsel as to the rights and either the employer or the farm labor contractor finds out, they will be fired, and they will also be blacklisted. Other employers and contractors who know the quote troublemakers, unquote, who they are, will soon quit if they can't find work in the area. This is a common practice, and it's part of the economic system that farm workers are a part of. It is very effective in keeping the employees subdued and in preventing the extinction of their rights. The criminal sanctions are not effective in preventing blacklisting. I am unaware of any prosecutions having been initiated in Oregon against blacklisting. My inquiries have confirmed my belief that prosecutors are not likely to be interested in enforcing this law. This is due to the fact that these cases are not considered major crimes. They're often hard to prove, and they usually involve persons economically and at times politically powerful in rural communities, which means that they're unattractive to DAs. Now there are zero cries from the public to prosecute these cases. The victims are not the type who feel comfortable asking the authorities to go after the boss. Their inability to speak English or their fear of retaliation might stop them from complaining at all. So most of the acts go unpunished. Civil damages, on the other hand, would provide the deterrent to blacklisting. It would only take a couple cases to spread the word through an industry that blacklisters could be heard in the pocketbook. And once the word was around, then the employer or the labor contractor would be more likely to listen to the grievance of the worker and try to solve it amicably. The worker would have some bargaining power, and if he lost the dispute, at least he could try to find work elsewhere. Under this law, the wrong worker could do something to redress the wrong done to him. It is a self-help bill. The worker would not be dependent on the government. Most workers would have to find an attorney to represent them to collect the statutory damages. In today's world, $750 is not a large sum of money, and most attorneys would be reluctant to take the case without some upfront money, which is something that most workers, especially unemployed and farm workers, won't have. Therefore, an attorney fee provision is included in this bill, and is an essential element to it. This bill does not propose any new concept. Civil statutory damages and attorney fees have been used in other areas of the law, especially employment-related acts. They have been used to deter prohibited acts, to compensate victims, and to encourage the redress of wrongs. The blacklisting activities have already been defined and outlawed. This bill would give the aggrieved worker the opportunity to make the law effective at no cost to state or local government.
Without this section, basically, the blacklisted employee have no right to the case. Without this section, you have to have this section to create the liability.
That's right, that's our contention. Yeah, the employee thought that he or she was being underpaid or something like that, which would be the reason for complaining that would start the process of blacklisting. Mm-hmm. The case would be a right to go after the alleged unpaid wages. But as for the blacklisting itself, no,
there would be no right. This is necessary.
Yes.
How would you feel that a person has been blacklisted? It looks to me like it would be very difficult to do.
I agree with you, Senator, it would be. It would be dependent on bringing some independent evidence, such as a witness or some type of a writing, I would have been to court to prove it. And it's not easy to do.
Yes, the thing I can think of, this would apply to business. When it's like it doesn't apply to any defendant.
Oh, no, not at all. It would apply to
all of those. You know, I have a dishonest employee that I'm guilty of. I have a dishonest employee that's been writing down. I only write in the checkbook. I feel that if you were doing that to me, I would certainly never give any, I would certainly want any other employee to know what type of person he is. And I think it would be my duty to tell him what would be my position. If I were to blacklist him, say this man has robbed, he has had evidence, and he's been in jail. Then I could be fined for relaying this information, of which I think is a citizen, but I should warn anyone that he's bad news.
Okay, well, right now, the way the current law reads, the activity would be prohibited anyway from subject to criminal charges. The fine would be additional.
I realize they were caught. What would do that? But maybe they know, you know, that's something they can't prove. And this happens, it's happened many times. It's something they can't prove, but they know that Johnny Shadow documents and robbing and blame.
You know, the history of black acting is one that's long, and I think that there are probably some members on the committee that are historically much more aware of this topic than we are.
That's all we need to see.
It's obvious that it occurred about 2 years ago when the labor movement was first starting, and employees were primarily put on what they call black acts, that particular time.
They're
just union activity. But when you read the statute, it says that with means can't touch those couple of individuals by back with the public, and then it goes on to say, with intent and for the purpose of preventing such employees. And the purpose behind that and the intent of it was that if the situation you gave, you do have an obligation, I believe, to inform the prior employer. But that isn't the intent of the causing an employment. That's the intent to inform him of the reason why he was discharged for you. From your employment. Now, I can find that you would, when you're getting that information, and you say, and I'm going to tell you this, it's my intention, it's my belief, this guy should not work for you or for anybody else, you got a problem.
But how are you going to prove that?
Well, it's obvious, you see, and that's one of the reasons why I think the witness said that there has been very little prosecution under this, because basically what you would need, absent a written document that showed that they were circulating your name out, you would have to call in all the other prospective employers who were applied to, and they would be called to the stand and ask, did Mr. Warner tell you to not hire this guy? And they said, yes, he did. And if he said that, you would be called in the census.
Then, Fred, how did he do this?
Well, I think that the specific problems they have, and if you recall that the witness talked about farm workers, and if there's any area that is at this particular time is subject to organization in the latest area, it's farm workers. And farm workers are probably in a position that many workers are probably were in 35 or 40 years ago. So in that particular area, it's a very important section of the law. And I have known for some time that there was no penalty provision in this. And very quickly, one of the reasons why I think that when I was approached previously, that I took the same position you did. And I said, well, you know, that was 20 years ago, but it's obviously a very important issue today.
Senator, I might add that at least with farm workers, there's certainly a barrier between the workers who might complain of blacklisting and the authorities. It's cultural, it's language, it's a reluctance of farm workers to go to authorities. And I think that would mean that there are direct prosecutions in this area. While a worker might have the tendency to go to an attorney with whom they could speak Spanish or whatever, and go after the civil damages.
Let me ask you this. Would this cause certain employers to be annoyed with numerous lawsuits in which a person is fired and say, well, I was blacklisted, I'm trying to get a job out there, I can't get a job, so I've been blacklisted?
Well, the problem is that the standard is very, very high, and they have to prove it. My guess is that, and my opinion would be that I think you're probably going to have very few lawsuits filed under this particular provision because of the intent question that I spoke to you about previously. You know, I think that the major problem is one, and it is in the area of farm labor. You know, you're talking about a group of people who generally are very low job skills, have very low education, and you're talking about a lot of coursework. And continually, these people come in and they say, listen, they get into a squabble with the guy about whether they're being paid for what they've actually done. And what happens is the guy's terminated, and then what the next thing you know is, if the word is out to all the other girls in that area, don't hire this guy, he's a troublemaker. And it's the same thing that happened 40 years ago. That is exactly what is being done as labor. They say the guy's a troublemaker, don't do anything. The argument is that I guess that some people would say is that now I'm going to have guys calling me up and accusing me of blacklisting. And I guess the question is it may be done. It may be a practice by some people. If it is, I think it could be a remedy for it. But the fact is that I think if a guy walks into an attorney, he's going to want some documented evidence. The fact that he's got this guy was
right
back there.
I don't know if any evidence they get back to the place, but the troublemakers too, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not a little too.
I disagree with that, but the fact is that the statute has no penalty for those who just take the time. I think there's a real need in this area for what he's talking about.
Okay, any other questions? Yeah. If not, thank you, Greg. You want to go to Prosecutor Evan first, and I'll be holding that for the next hearing, but if you want to go in the first place.
I'm actually happy to wait if the committee prefers to get loud.
Thank you, Mr. Jim. There's nothing further to come forward to you. I agree.